You're listening to the Psychiatric Nurse Practitioner Podcasts. This is Ana Sanchez, your host. I discuss evidence-based research on mental health. I dispense empathy, hope, and share with you a deeper understanding of what mental illness is all about. Together, we can raise awareness, improve attitudes, and remove the barriers to mental health. Thank you. Good evening. You're listening to the Psychiatric Nurse Practitioner Podcast. This is Ana Sanchez, your host. Today we are in for a special treat. I have my friend that will be speaking to us about her experience, Miss Victoria Randell. Miss Victoria,
hey,
how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me, share with us what you have been doing and what you're all about, because you're all about everything that I want to be when I grow up, right?
I appreciate that so much. I appreciate that. That's an honor. I am, as you know, I'm a family nurse practitioner myself by trade. I have been a nurse practitioner for the past 6 years now. And before I got my start as an NP, I was an RN. And even before that, I was a CNA and a patient care tech. So kind of went from the bottom all the way to the top, as they say. But yeah, so in having those experiences, I decided to start a healthcare training school because that certificate level of education is what helped me get a start and helped me get to where I am today. And I wanted to share that with others.
So that being a CNA in the beginning, you want people to start where you have started and grow from there.
Yeah, help them see the options. I know when I became a CNA, it was not even an idea in my brain to become a nurse, let alone a nurse practitioner. And even after I got out of school and became an RN, I still honestly did not understand the role of a nurse practitioner and how all that worked. So anyway, with all that being said, I feel it helps individuals enter the workforce earning well above minimum wage while understanding, you know, the healthcare system, how it works, and where they could possibly fit in at if they wish to grow.
Yes, I agree in what you said. And at first, being a CNA, I was a CNA too many years ago. So we have that commonality there that you rely on them. And what kind of experiences, how did you grow from being a CNA to an RN to a master's prepared family nurse practitioner and now a businesswoman who is a wonderful thing? So this is why I'm so excited to talk to you about this, because there's a lot of nurse practitioners out there. They can be in psych, they can be in family nurse practitioner, they can be in adult gero, but they also have niches that they can go into and share their passion, like what you're doing.
Good point. And that's the biggest thing. And that's what I love talking about is how can you as a nurse take your experiences and your expertise and turn them into a business? And sometimes this is hard for nurses to kind of put the puzzle pieces together and for them to see. But honestly, Ana, we were built for business. We were really built for business. And I like to say nurses are built for business because when we think about, for instance, the nursing process, that's what we use in business. In business, before we even start a business, we ask ourselves, well, what is the problem? The assessment phase.
Right.
What's the problem and how can I create a solution? And For me, the problem was I didn't know how to start a healthcare training school. I could not figure it out for the life of me. So I did some research. I figured out the market. I learned things. That was my assessment phase. You know, is this something that's really even needed, despite the fact that I want to do it? Is it needed? You know, after doing that assessment, then we move on. And it's like, okay, well, now that I've assessed and I figured out what I want to do, let me start planning. Let me figure out how I want to do all of this.
Right.
And that's where your niche comes in. So as a nurse, I mean, there's so many things I could have done. I'm an urgent care nurse as a family nurse practitioner. I could have taken that expertise as an urgent care nurse practitioner and helped other people open up urgent cares.
Ah, and so right? Why did you choose Hero Institute?
Yeah, I chose Hero Institute, which is the name of my healthcare training school, again, because I got my start as a CNA. Mm-hmm. So to me, I wanted to help other people at least see that, learn about it, and if they love it, help them grow. Help people, like, mm-hmm. I have 3 degrees and I paid for none of them.
Wow, how'd you do that?
You know what I mean? So I was smart. I worked for organizations that I knew would pay for my education. So I got in as a CNA and as a patient care tech, and I worked for organizations that had tuition reimbursement, and I took advantage of those opportunities. It took me a little longer to get through school because I was so busy working, but I was determined, and here I am 3 degrees later. I would not have been able to do that had I not been a CNA and gotten into the healthcare system. You see what I mean?
Wow, you are incredible. I would not have thought of that. And it's like, free? Get your diploma? Free? Wow, that's amazing. That is amazing. So how did you do that research as assessment, right? You have the problem, you assessed, you looked up for the niche. How did you go about thinking of where to even go, how to merch, what do you call it, market yourself?
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's kind of one of those things where you really don't know what you're doing at first. And as you are playing the game, you are learning if you're observant enough. Mm. And so being observant enough, so for instance, let me step back a moment. Before I started Hero Institute, I started a company called The Secret Cocktail.
Yes. Tell us about that too, please.
The Secret Cocktail is a consulting company, and we help to create healthcare training schools all around the nation. Mm-hmm. And with doing that, I helped to start at least 120 CNA, phlebotomy, medical assistant schools all throughout the United States. Wow. I'm talking about California, Pennsylvania, Texas, Indiana, you name it. I've pretty much helped create a school there. I've helped someone become an entrepreneur. In doing that, I learned a lot. Like, I thought I knew what my customers needed because what I needed to start a business. Mm-hmm. But having a consulting business taught me that it's not always what you think the customer needs, but what they also need. So you have to really listen to your customer. Mm-hmm. And that's how I was able to market myself. So if my customers were telling me, like, I really want to open this school, but I don't understand the regulations or rules, or I really want to open this school, but I don't understand what it takes to be an instructor, that is how I marketed myself. So I said, well, if that's their questions, if that's their burning question, that's what keeps them up at night, that's what they're searching Google for, then that's what I need to answer. So I have a YouTube channel, and I developed a lot of content on my YouTube channel just answering those burning questions. How to become a CNA instructor, how to start a CNA school, what are the regulations, how do you write a curriculum? Like, all the things my customers were telling me, I created content and I put it out there. Wow. Of course, with creating that content, again, people are asking Google those questions, and I was very specific with my verbiage. So if a customer said how to become a CNA instructor, then that's what I made my content say. I wouldn't say anything like how to be a nurse aide educator. That's not what they were saying, right?
Yes.
So if I developed content that said how to be a nurse aide educator, no one would ever find me because that's not what they were asking the universe. So you have to really learn your customers' language, what they say, how they say it, what's keeping them up at night, and then you answer those questions. You prove to them you're the expert in that topic, mm-hmm. and they're going to do business with you every time.
Ooh, I like that idea. So when you create that content, I mean, that's another research. I mean, to have a YouTube channel and all that. Tell us about that process.
Yeah, actually, I love my YouTube channel. I didn't think I would love it as much as I do, but I really love it because, again, I love to educate people and I love to share knowledge. And mm-hmm. I also recognize that everyone may not be able to afford my services, or everyone may not be at the place where they know they want my services yet. They're still trying to learn. And so developing a YouTube channel where I am providing valuable information to people and answering their burning questions, I don't care if they use me or not. I'm just happy to give them answers because I wanted answers.
To share that knowledge. And if they seek it, then they will contact you. And that's how you, how many? 120 schools?
And counting.
Wow. Wow. What is the name of the YouTube channel?
The Secret Cocktail.
The Secret Cocktail. Wow. That is amazing. And in having that technical knowledge as well to build your platform on YouTube, how did you come about that? Tell us about that.
Initially, I was kind of like doing webinars. But what was irritating me about the webinars was that I would do a webinar and they'd be private so people could ask me questions. But then after I'm done with the webinar, the information would be gone. Oh. And I would continue to get inboxes and emails from people that are like, hey, I missed the webinar, but I have these questions. And they were all the same questions. And I thought, oh, my gosh, like I'm literally 5 hours a day answering the same question over and over. Mm-hmm. And then the light bulb hit me. And I was like, instead of doing webinars, why don't I just do videos on these topics? So when people ask me, I can just send them the video link and I can go about my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because make life easier.
Make life easier because it became very, very cumbersome because this information was nowhere out there. How to start a CNA school was nowhere out there. I know because I had a hard time starting one.
And so the business aspect of it, so you had that platform. Now you have to make sure each state has their own protocol, right?
Right. Because each state, to your point, each state has a different approval process. And that's something I learned along the way. Now, that information, you know, the state-specific information, it takes a lot of research. Like, it takes me days to research that information. So, of course, when it kind of comes to that, that takes a lot of my time. So, for those things, I do typically charge clients, you know, to book a call with me, and they can get that state-specific information. My YouTube has more general, basic questions that people want to know so they can get those quick answers to, like, how much does it cost to start a CNA school? Ooh. Or another big question I get is, who can own a CNA school, right? So those are basic questions that it's easy for me to answer. But some of the more detailed questions require a lot of research. Thus, you know, reimbursement for that time is warranted.
Yes. How do you equate that? I mean, with the time, how do you even ask for us nursing? We give a lot of ourselves, right? But of course, as a businesswoman, you have to have that boundary of not just giving in and free services. It's not like that because this is your business. How do you even think of equating yourself and your time on your consulting? How do you help the nurse practitioners that are listening out there that might be having light bulb moments right now? I want to do this. I want to do that.
And how do you charge for your time accordingly? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. I went through three phases and I'll explain the phases. My initial phase, and I'll just be very transparent, my initial phase was kind of like, I know this, but I don't know that people trust that I know this. So let me just put myself out there. I'll charge $30 for an hour long call and I'll prove myself, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I was in this prove myself phase where I'll take little to nothing because, you know, as a nurse practitioner, I mean, my last job I took, I was making $65 an hour. So to be charging $30 an hour, I'm clearly not getting my worth, right? But I wanted to prove myself. After I got through that phase of proving myself, I started to realize that I started trusting myself and realizing that I was the expert in this field. Wow. And I need to be compensated as if I were working in the field. And I still had that hourly mentality. So what I did was I said, well, I'll charge a little more. I'll charge $75 an hour. Mm-hmm. So I was charging $75 an hour. Then I got so busy that I could not attend to all the calls. I mean, I literally would be 8 hours on the phone.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of phone calls.
Yeah, answering questions. And I realized, like, this information is valuable and so is my time. And and then a lot of people were just asking me questions, but they weren't serious. And, you know, I really want to work with serious people. So I decided to up my fee. So now we're in phase three, where my phase is, where my cost is $175 per hour for the information I give. And it does weed out people that are not serious. Uh-huh. If someone's really serious, they're willing to pay, right?
Right.
And if you're serious and you're willing to pay, I'm going to give you everything I got and then some. And typically those calls do end up being a little over an hour because I just want to give and they just want to receive.
Because they're open and they're very serious about knowing
exactly
what needs to be done.
Exactly. And then typically, of course, that is a high fee. So if they decide to go with my services, that fee goes towards whatever they choose to use me for. So it's not money lost.
I am sure you're giving them a whole lot of your knowledge and your expertise in the subject matter. And I'm sure it is worth their while and more. I'm sure of that. So.
Yeah, people really leave the calls with a lot of clarity. I tell people this all the time. I would rather spend $200 to figure out if this is something I really want to do rather than get $20,000 into it and realize I don't want anything to do with this. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. you've got to be really serious and know where you want and what you want, right? So that is something that you've learned about yourself.
Yeah, I mean, in business, I'm constantly learning stuff about myself. I'm constantly learning stuff about the clients that I serve. It's an ever learning, ever growing type of situation, and I love it.
Do you feel that you need to have a business degree? I know a lot of the nurse practitioners, we have multiple degrees already. Do you feel that a business degree is needed, or it's a learning phase and you go as, you know, you go along?
You know, that's a good question. It's hard for me to speak on that because I don't have a business degree. I have spoke with nurses who do have business degrees as well as nursing degrees, and many of them do tell me that they don't really feel like the business degree prepared them and that the real world experience is where it was at. You know, I think most of them have told me that the finance part was helpful. You know, the finance part of their business degree was helpful, but everything else, they just learned in the field. So I can't speak on it. I do know for me, hands-on is best anyway. Like theoretical things, it's cool, but I need to get hands-on. I need to figure it out and learn it that way for it to stick and for me to apply it.
Yes. Now, give us tips for those who are wanting to learn out there in starting their own businesses. What kind of things was an added value to promote your business? What's an added value to organization, right? Because that's a different field already, having owning your own business. It's nursing, but then also that organizational skills.
Yeah, I mean, so I used to work in management as a nurse. Before I became a nurse practitioner, I did work in management. And so that was very helpful for me. Uh-huh. I had no idea that I would become a business owner when I was doing that. But that information and knowledge, I was able to transfer over into business. Currently, I have, with the Sierra Cato, I have 8 employees, and with Hero Institute, I have 5. So I have 2 businesses with a nice host of staff, and I don't really like to call them employees. I like to call them my team, because we're all in it together. You know, we do things together. But anyway, to answer your question, actually rephrase your question because I want to make sure I answer it correctly.
Yes. So you're a nurse by trade, nurse practitioner, right? How do you organize yourself as a businesswoman also? What are the helping tools I shouldn't be saying toolbox, but your handbag, right? that you can use in your business and how to grow your business, because there's a lot of nurse practitioners out there that are listening and having those light bulb moments. It's like, oh, I can do this too.
I think the biggest one is delegation. And I'm going to always continue to go back to my nursing knowledge. delegation is huge in owning a business and getting to a certain level. My first year in business, I think I made like $75,000. My second year, I tripled it. And by my third year, I quadrupled it. I mean, it was crazy how much I was able to grow the business, but it really came from delegation and using those skills we learned in nursing about delegation, meaning I find a person who is capable of the task, but although I think they're capable, I give them tasks to do and I follow up and make sure that it was done correctly. And once that person has proven to me that they are able to execute on their own, I let go and let them do their thing. And I trust them to do their part and I check in periodically to make sure they stay competent. Mm. That's what we do in nursing. You have to do that in business in order to grow. Mm. That has been my biggest, help, my biggest tool in my toolbox, as you would say. Mm-hmm. And as I develop and I help other entrepreneurs develop, and you're right, I work with a lot of nurse practitioners who end up opening schools. That is a very hard task for them because they feel like no one can do it like them. No one can do it but them. You know what I mean?
It's that control that nurse practitioners like us, right? That like I need to make sure that this is done. So I'll do it myself.
Yes. And it's like, no, you know, and I think to be fair, healthcare has kind of pushed us into that box. And so we do that. Like how many nurse practitioners work for a practice and they're the medical assistant? They're right. They're the secretary. They're the provider. Mm-hmm. They're the discharging nurse. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you kind of end up steering away from this delegation mode and you are the be all do it all because we have all those skills. Many organizations look to us to do all those things. But again, with business, you can't. If you're going to try to do it all by yourself, you're not going to grow. You're going to get burned out and you're going to want out.
Yeah.
And that's not why we get into business. You know, we get into business because we have a passion. We want to make a difference. We want to change things. And you can't do that by yourself.
And Miss Victoria, that passion is what I see in you. Every time I see you in an event here in Georgia, you're just full of life, full of energy. That's what I feed off on. So it's a wonderful thing.
Thank you. Thank you. I am passionate about so many things. And as an entrepreneur, sometimes we have to be careful with that because we're so passionate about so many things and we get so many ideas and we want to execute on so many of them. And what I've learned is to focus on one thing, master it. And once you have mastered it and it can run and do its thing on its own, that's when you move on to the next. Mm. Otherwise, you create chaos and unmanageable things, you know, and you don't want to do that. You don't want, and then you feel like you're failing. And then again, you go through this spiral of, you know, wanting out and getting burned out and et cetera.
Mm. And talk about those, quote, failures. Right? We all have roadblocks. For me, working in psych, I don't consider those failures. I consider them challenges. Tell us about the challenges that you've had.
I definitely call them learning moments. I'm with you.
I like that.
It's not a failure. It's a learning moment. And as an entrepreneur, you're going to have multiple learning moments multiple times a year. Especially if you're a first generation entrepreneur.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's something to think about too. You know, I am a first generation entrepreneur, so I don't have someone in my back pocket or in my family to say, hey, before I move forward with this, what do you think? Or what has worked for you? You know, instead, I'm just kind of trying to figure it out on my own. And with that, you're going to have learning moments. And so just to be transparent and thinking about learning moments, one huge learning moment for me was about 2 years ago when it was tax time.
What happened there?
And I didn't realize the importance of like really, really having a rope around your finances neck to know what's going on and like have it close to you. And I was just kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, I made this much and I had to spend this much, but I wasn't really like eyeballing it with a magnifying glass. And again, as an entrepreneur, you have to pay taxes yourself. No one's pulling that money out of your bank for you, out of your paycheck for you. And, you know, by the end of the year, I ended up with a $50,000 tax statement that I owed. You know, 50,000, that's significant. And so I, you know, thank God I had the money to pay it, but it was a learning moment for me. And so what I did moving forward, you know, I work hand in hand with my CPA now. My CPA, I'm on his butt like white on rice every month. Like every month I want my profit and loss statement. I want my balance statement. I want to see where my money, you know, this month, where did I spend the most money and how does that compare to last year in the same month? What changed? What did I do different when I promoted this? Did it really increase my sales? You know, if I'm spending money too much in some place, where do I need to cut back? Like I really analyze my financials every month.
Wow. So that
basically
CPA is one of your things that you have in your toolbox.
My toolbox. There you go, girl. Yes. My CPA is crucial in my toolbox. I could not work. I could not function and be able to make true analytical decisions in my business without knowing my bottom line monthly.
Right, right. And that's critical. I mean, you don't want to be, you have to make sure that everything is on the line, right? And have everything in check and not pay exorbitant amount of taxes where, you know, of course pay it, but what do I need to do?
Yeah, what do I need to do? So now I know, like, okay, pay my taxes quarterly, you know, based upon the estimation of what I think I will make every year. You know, a good entrepreneur will have projections and they will have goals and milestones that they need to meet. And so if you know this year you're going to bring in X amount of dollars and that's going to require you pay X amount of taxes. And so budget for that. That, again, that was a learning experience for me. Another thing that was a learning experience for me in terms of the finances was also like, okay, well, what are all my write-off opportunities? Mm-hmm. You know, let me really focus on these write-off opportunities and maximize them where, when and where I can.
Right.
You know, so I was going for, and I do a lot of driving with my company because I'm going, my clients, when they get approved, I drive to their locations. I do their grand openings with them. I'm helping them do mock inspections to help them prepare for the state before the state comes to do their inspection. You know, I do a lot of driving and I was in the market for a new car. Well, it didn't dawn on me, Victoria, have your business by the car. You know, like it was like a last minute realization, like, oh, my business will buy the car because I literally am in this car 75% of the time for business purposes. That was a huge write-off, you know? Mm-hmm. So just really like having those conversations with your CPA, if you are in business and telling them what some of your goals are and things that you want to achieve, they can give you ideas on how to get tax breaks.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, that is very true. Those tax breaks are critical. Your cell phone, your laptop, your car, because you use it for your work.
For everything. Business. After COVID, now you, I mean, even every single lunch, you know, you take daily as an entrepreneur can be a write-off. Mm. It's just so many things that you need to know. And again, I don't claim to know it all. I'm definitely still learning. How much do you pay yourself? You know, a lot of people ask that question. Well, how do you know how much to pay yourself or how do you pay yourself? That's well, number one, let's think about the tax bracket. I was probably paying myself a little too much, which is why I ended up with a $50,000 tax bill. So that was a learning experience. So, you know, just so much. It's a lot to learn, but it's fun. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a learning experience, not a failure. It's a learning experience and it's fun.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. But every time I see you, you've got something going on and it's amazing how you can still be so lively and happy and like energetic with all of these things, you know, in your life.
But you know why? It's because I get to do something every day that I absolutely love. It's not like, oh my gosh, let me go in, let me clock in. You know, I don't know if they're going to listen to me in the staff meeting about my thoughts on this. And I don't know if they're going to accept this. And, you know, it's like all these worries that you have. I mean, I remember my last nurse practitioner position before I finally let go during COVID and went full time in my business. I mean, I was like worried I was going to have to get let go because I wasn't willing to do certain things that I knew were outside of my scope as an NP. You know, that is, it takes away your sense of autonomy sometimes. And so now depending on where you work, that is, but now as an entrepreneur, I don't have to worry about any of those things. If I want to implement something new, I implement it. You know, like I don't have to wait for someone to give me the approval. I go for it. If I want to do something a little different for a client, I do it because I want to see them happy. Right. Yeah, there's policies for a reason, but I get to bend them if I need to. Mm-hmm. And it's, so that's why I'm happy. You're right. I am happy.
Yes, I can just see your face right now. So that is amazing. Yes, and I think a lot of light bulb moments came about during COVID as well, where nurses and nurse practitioners and even physicians were burnt out because of what was happening, right? And so you went out of your comfort zone more, because this pre-COVID, I met you already and you have things going on already in your business. And then with COVID, people got out of their comfort zone and started things that they were passionate about.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going to tell you what, I had this business for about 2 or 3 years prior to COVID. Yeah, 2 years. It was three because I did it 1 year unofficially and then I finally incorporated in 2018. So technically two, but it was three. Wow. But I was so terrified to leave my job as a nurse practitioner. And even though I was only working part-time, I was just terrified. It was like the thought that I may not get that guaranteed check.
That comfort zone, right?
Or, yeah, or the thought that, well, I know I have healthcare insurance with them. Like, it was just making me feel like I had to clock in every day and clock out every day. And when COVID hit, again, I'm an urgent care MP, I got really, really, really sick. And I think it was before we really knew it was COVID. It was like in the end of February when this happened to me.
Wow.
And then the word came out and my husband was just like, there's no way I want you to go back. Like, me and the kids, we need you. And, you know, you have a business, Victoria, just give your business your all. And I still kept like pushing back. And it was finally when my job started again, trying to make me do things that I knew was outside of my scope, that I finally had to let go or else they were going to let me go, you know? So it pushed me. It was the best push ever because that's where I was supposed to be. See, if you don't live and do what you're supposed to be doing, the universe, God, whatever you believe in, it is going to make you do that anyway, whether you like it or not. But I'm grateful for it.
Yeah, I totally agree on that one. I totally agree. So that is very important. Any last tips that you have, insights, breakthrough in your life and in your nursing business career?
I think the biggest thing I would say to anyone listening who is interested in just going out there and shooting their shot, if you will, the first thing I would say is, of course, do it. Like, I'm the first person to tell everybody, quit your job. Quit your job. Do what you want. Like, I'm the wrong person to look forward to trying to get you to stay. I'm going to tell you to leave. But before you leave, though, again, back to nursing, the nursing brain, have a business plan established. Like, how, even if it's not the plan you end up going with 100%, because that's a plan is just a guess of what you think you're going to do or what you think you're going to need. But nevertheless, it's a plan and it can be altered. You know, business plans are living, breathing documents. As your life changes, the business plan will change. As business changes, the plan will change, but you have to have one. And I tell people this all the time. Imagine walking in to work and you just start caring for patients. Like, you didn't look in their chart. You didn't find out who the attending physician was. You didn't find out what surgeries they've had, what their history is, what medications they have, what their vital signs were. You didn't look at any of that. You just went there and started doing stuff to the patient. That's not prudent.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen to the patient, possibly. And if and when it does, their life could be on the line, all because you didn't take a moment to learn a little bit about that patient. Your business is the same. If you don't take a moment to learn a little bit about this business you're getting ready to get into, if you don't find out who your references or referrals would be to ask questions and get guidance from, if you don't understand what type of money you can make, if you, all those things, if you don't take the time to look at those things, just like your patient could die, so could your business.
Wow. That is,
and if you're putting, if you're putting that much money and that much effort, why would you want to, for it to possibly die? You know what I mean?
That is very good insight.
Yeah, again, we nurses are built for this. Like, we don't realize how built we are for this. You have all the knowledge you already need. You just need to learn how to shift your thinking and think from a business perspective.
Shift your thinking from a business perspective, but also use that nursing knowledge, nursing drive, and the passion, and find your niche. Well, Miss Victoria,
And that's where the money is, in the niches.
right.
Riches and the niches.
Tell us about your the websites so that our listeners can come and visit your website and look at your YouTube channels and all that.
Well, my baby is the Secret Cocktail. The Secret Cocktail is what gave me the money that I could even use to reopen my school, Hero Institute. So I definitely feel like the Secret Cocktail is where a lot of the knowledge I share on entrepreneurship, to your point. So The Secret Cocktail, and that's exactly the way it sounds on all platforms, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right. Please make sure you like it.
Oh, yeah. Like it, subscribe. You definitely got to subscribe to the YouTube. That's I'm telling you, there's a lot of good stuff. I've had people open their schools off of my YouTube alone. Never consulted with me once. That's how much information I give.
Wow. Well, that is a lot of knowledge. That is a lot of passion. And the Hero Institute, I am just so thrilled. I was able to be there on opening day.
Yes, I'm so appreciative. You're so supportive. You guys, Anna is so supportive. She's talking about me having a smile on my face at all times. This woman is just a breath of fresh air. Aww. Time she enters a room. So yeah, Hero, thank you so much for coming to our grand opening. Hero Institute is located in Marietta, Georgia. And we offer we offer patient care tech, medical assistant, and phlebotomy classes currently. We are expanding next year. We will hopefully finally have our nurse aide program approved. We will do entrepreneurship classes, Ooh. Which I'm really excited about.
Ooh, yay!
And then we do train the trainer courses to help people train in preparation to become CNA instructors. So
wonderful. And this, tell us about the other thing about Hero Institute for nurses and nurse practitioners to do.
You're talking about the content house part of it all. Well, if you haven't noticed already, I love content. I love content creation, video, especially, video is where it's at right now. And I recognize a lot of people are not comfortable there. A lot of people, they want to, but they don't know how to create content or where to get these ideas from. So Hero Institute, once a month, starting in January, we will be a content house for medical professionals. So dates will be announced. So to your point, follow us on Instagram at, I think it's Hero Institute ATL. And we're on Facebook also, Hero Institute. But yeah, so we'll do Content House once a month where medical professionals, no matter where you are, if you're a CNA all the way up to MD, if you want to create content and you need the background to look medical, we got you covered. And we also help assist with understanding like how to create that content, what to do on which platform, whether it be TikTok or Facebook or Instagram. And then the second half of the day, we'll actually be creating content. So this is going to be fun. I'm excited. I hope to get Anna there.
Yes, I am just excited. I'm looking forward to all the things that you're going to be doing. I am just so thrilled that I've met you a couple of years ago in our advanced practice symposium a couple years ago now. Yeah, it was pre-COVID. Yes. That's when I first met you. So, ladies and gentlemen, all of you nurses in healthcare, please follow her on Instagram. This is a lot of information. Get out of your comfort zone and look at Miss Victoria. She did it, and she's doing amazing things.
And you can too.
There you go. Thank you so much for coming tonight. I appreciate you, and we will be talking to you soon again.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Anna Sanchez is a dual board certified family and psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner. She has a private practice clinic and specializes in telepsychiatry in the state of Georgia. She is the founder for Hope Center for Veterans, which is a nonprofit organization that increases positive outcomes for service members and veterans. In her military capability, she is a medical officer in the United States Air Force Reserves. Her passion is in the care for those who have mental health challenges. This is a psychiatric nurse practitioner podcast, and it is a weekly podcast. This podcast does not constitute for a medical or psychiatric advice. This podcast is not intended to replace any professional or psychiatric assessment. The ideas expressed in this podcast do not reflect the position of the speakers, authors, affiliated medical and nurse practitioner organizations. Thank you. Anna Sanchez is a dual board certified as a family and psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner. She has a private practice clinic and specializes in telepsychiatry in the state of Georgia. She is the founder for Hope Center for Veterans, which is a nonprofit organization that increases positive outcomes for service members. She currently serves as a medical officer in the United States Air Force Reserves. Her passion is in the care of those who have mental health conditions.